today let's talk about the relationship between biomass accumulation and forage quality in a mixed cool-season grass sward. So a brief introduction. When we think about forage production, probably the first thing that we think is forage growth rate. And yes, it is one of the determinants of the grazing system productivity. But when we are trying to think at the animal perspective, like pasture stocking rates and supplementation, we need to think about the dynamics between the forage growth rate and the animal intake. So our animals are only going to reach high performance if they are consuming a forage with a high quality. And that implies that the canopy needs to have large amounts of new leaves. But the problem on that is, on the other hand, the same plant needs the same leaves to produce. So we need to find a balance between the animal consumption and the growth rate. And so our purpose here is to understand better this dynamics relationship between the forage biomass and the nutritive value of the pasture to help producers to know how to manage better the grazing by the sward removal and then achieve their goal, that is the animal production. So with this, the objectives of my research is to quantify forage nutritive value of a grass sward through the growing season in Ohio and describe the relationships of forage nutritive value to forage biomass and plant morphology. And then again, this will be useful to modeling changes in forage nutritive value across the season and how that biomass accumulation will affect this relationship. So what is the hypothesis? That we will have a negative relationship between the amount of biomass present in that sward and the forage nutritive value. And the forage quality will differ within the canopy. The research was conducted in Columbus, Ohio, from April to October 2009. We are going to repeat that next year in 2010. We had 7 treatments that comprised 7 initiation dates, and our forage were predominantly tall fescue, and we had 4 replications and a randomized block design. So our first treatment, the first initiation date was in early April, the beginning of the spring. And then about 2 weeks, every 2 weeks, more or less, we are starting a new treatment. And our last treatment, we started in the beginning of August, in August 4th. We also measured the dry biomass with a calibrated plate meter. And then we collected some samples above the stubble. The stubble was considered 0 to 5 centimeters. And then above that, we collected every 10 centimeters of the strata. So some treatments we reached until like 35 to 45 centimeters, and some just 15, 25 was the maximum. Then we did some morphological composition, quantifying leaves, proportion of leaves, stems, and dead material. And then we conduct some quality analysis, in this case, NDF. And to do this analysis, we selected some dates that were more representative of our treatments. So we selected around 1 date per month, more or less. Here is a picture of our area. Here's our treatment. It was just mold. So the first date of this treatment. Here's how we measure with the plate meter. Probably everyone knows that. And this picture shows how we collected the strata. So we just had the square and above the stubble every 10 centimeters. We ran some statistical analysis to biomass, to quantify, to analyze biomass, we used Brock handling and SAS to build a Gompertz curve to predict the predicted yield. And we did some correlations by regressions to quantify NDF versus age, NDF versus biomass using Proc Reg on SAS. So now some of our results. This is a graph showing the biomass accumulation during 2009. Here in the y-axis you can you see the biomass dry matter accumulation, kilograms per hectare, across the whole experiment. So this first curve is the first initiation date, starting in early April. And here you have the second treatment. You can see that they're pretty similar. The second treatment, we start 2 weeks later. And the point in this graph is to see that we have a really fast accumulation in early spring. Then our accumulation, our growth rate starts to slow down, and our later initiation days, you can see that we don't have that same growth rate, the same speed of growth rate. Now I'll show some pictures showing the difference of the green and versus dead material by strata. So just to explain here, this is the percentage of green versus dead. Green, of course, is the green. And then dead is the brown color here. So here's percentage of, here is the stubble. Here, 10 centimeters above the stubble, and always 100%. So it's pretty much what we were expecting. You can see the pattern didn't different among the first four treatments. We do have a higher accumulation of dead material as you are getting a plant more mature. And the stubble was pretty consistent across the whole season. The only interesting thing, point that I have here, if you see the growth period, it's a little dark to see here, but at this point, you almost have 50% of dead, 50% of green, probably due to the composition of your dead material. So, and here in the growth period number four, you can see a difference in the stubble proportion. Here are some graphs to show the actual quality of the study. I have two dates to compare. The first date that we did the analysis, oh yeah, thank you. And the last date that we selected. Here you can see there's a tendency to, we have, of course, it was expected to have a higher an NDF concentration, the stubble. We did have that. And then when we have more leaves, when our pasture was more young, more immature, a higher concentration, a higher quality and lower concentration. And but the interesting point in these graphs is to see that the very top of the grass here wasn't good quality. As if you think about legumes, top grazing, you always think that the top is going to be the better quality. So this is showing that this doesn't happen with this kind of grasses. And here in August, you don't have a difference. You don't have a significant difference among all our strata that you can see here. It's always around 60% on NDF. So even the bottom of the sward and the very top is pretty much the same. It's pretty much consistent. And here is the total canopy NDF, excluding the stubble. Again, early spring, we have a higher NDF concentration. So if you think about to feed dairy cattle, for example, you will think to feed those cattle in this period here. But then our NDF is going to increase, and it's not good to feed dairy cattle, for example. And the interesting point in this graph, even those treatments that started, was pretty young, started in June, for example, in early summer, already started with a really high NDIF concentration. So this is showing that age is still really important here. It's not just biomass, but age is still really important here. And here's to show that, again, the relationship between NDIF and biomass. So we do have a good relationship, a correlation of 0.65, but again, as I said, age has a higher correlation here. So we don't have to think just about biomass, but age is still really important if you think in the quality as a total in your season. So what we can conclude is that the vertical variation in NDIF concentration within a tall fescue sward was relatively small. The NDIF concentration is high correlated with biomass, but age, as I said, was also a very good predictor of quality. And when you think in grazing strategies, as I said in the beginning, emphasizing the top versus bottom grazing, in this case, probably is not going to be true. Again, I'm emphasizing here NDIF, but next step now is to conduct some digestibility analysis, and then we can affirm if this is true or not. And again, we are going to try to analyze all samples that we collected, not just those selected samples, and build those curves to have a better predictor. But this is the idea that we can find so far. And so I'm ready for any questions that you might have.